Overseers of the IRS say budget cuts will have a serious impact on efforts to protect taxpayers' personal information, to say nothing of their money. But some members of Congress are concerned the agency itself isn't doing enough to shield itself from bad actors and bad customer service. Here with more, Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers. And Meredith, what is going on at the IRS at this budget time when the agency is facing more cuts?
It is an interesting time right now. They're facing cuts and the 2017 tax filing season is over with. So now everyone's taking a look at how these things played out in terms of customer service. We've all heard about the problems with long wait times for people calling up the IRS, and taxpayer advocate Nina Olson recently testified at a House subcommittee hearing, and she said, well, yes, nearly 80% of the accounts management calls were answered, and people only had to wait about 7 minutes or so. When it comes to the compliance phone lines, maybe someone wanting to settle up a payment or start scheduling one, they had to wait 47 minutes. That was the average wait time.
The penalties can go up while you're waiting online.
Right? Yeah. That's like a whole episode of like the House of Cards or something. It's 47 minutes. And customer service reps only answered about 40% of those calls. Now, that inequality of those customer service options is just one of the examples of why the IRS not only needs to be a taxpayer-first agency, but one that has enough money to serve those taxpayers. And taxpayer advocate Nina Olson warned subcommittee members about that.
The IRS remains significantly resource constrained, and there are limits to how much its performance can improve unless and until it receives additional funding. Equally important is how IRS funding is allocated among its four accounts. I believe strongly that the IRS should be a taxpayer service first agency. There is no doubt that enforcement plays an important role in deterring noncompliance, but today the IRS spends 43% of its budget on direct enforcement activities and more than 60% if operation support dollars that support enforcement are taken into account, as opposed to less than 4% on taxpayer outreach and education activities.
The White House is proposing $10.9 billion for IRS this coming fiscal year, 2018, which is about $300 million less than it got this past year. The White House proposed $4.7 billion for enforcement, which is a cut of about $180 million. Now, nearly $4 billion has been set aside in IRS's budget for operations support, which includes IT development. This hearing was more about oversight. It had been rescheduled from an earlier time this month, but happened to be held a day after the budget drop, which is why Congress members were asking about it. And Olson had some thoughts.
I believe that the IRS needs to have the funds to beef up taxpayer service and outreach and education to taxpayers, to build up its IT function, and to do very research-based and targeted enforcement or compliance activities. And it needs a budget that reflects those priorities, in my opinion.
And so that's taxpayer advocate Nina Olson, who always stays calm and collected through all of these vicissitudes. We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers. Meredith, you mentioned enforcement and IT systems as getting maybe a little bit less money from the Trump administration proposal. And that relates to frauds and scams. Did that come up during the hearing?
It did. Scams targeting IRS systems have been and still are a topic that Congress members want answers about. Here's Congressman David Young from Iowa.
Identity theft and fraud is something that we're hearing more and more about. All of us are. On both sides of the aisle in Congress, in our districts, in rural areas, and in urban areas. You've heard about the grandparent scam, the IRS impersonation scam, all these different kind of things. There's a task force here in Congress. It's bipartisan to prevent identity theft and fraud. And we learn about new ones every day, and I'm sure you learn about new ones.
That was Congressman David Young from Iowa. Now, Nina Olson, the taxpayer advocate herself, said she'd recently gotten a call at home from someone claiming to be from the IRS informing her of a lawsuit unless she paid up. And she said, you know, well, I turned on my recorder and tried to ask them questions, and then they quickly hung up. And J. Russell George, the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration, was also at this hearing. And he said scammers today are very agile and will adjust their attacks on taxpayers practically on a daily basis. He said one area where his office will be keeping close watch for things like this is the private debt collection program that relaunched this past April. The IRS is contracting with four firms to collect on overdue tax accounts, and the IRS will send written notice to each taxpayer and their representative that their account is being transferred over. And then those private debt collectors will then send a second letter confirming the transfer. The next step is a phone call, and that's where things get a little sticky. Here's J. Russell George.
Very concerning for us is the issue of authenticating debt collectors. We found the true challenges. For years and years, we've told people that the IRS would not initiate a phone call to you because of the problem of telephone scam operators. And lo and behold, this program is the private debt collectors initiating a phone call. Now, the IRS has implemented a policy of sending letters to people whose taxes have been turned over to private debt collectors. But it's simply a matter of time before what I call the bad guys realize this and just adapt their policies or procedures in order to circumvent that change in policy.
That was J. Russell George, the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. And he agreed with Nina Olson that the IRS needs more resources if they want to improve their overall mission of collecting revenue owed to the federal government. The Trump administration's 2018 budget proposed roughly $24 million for direct civilian full-time equivalent employment compared to $28 million last year. And Olson said, in her opinion, more people are needed on the taxpayer service side and taxpayer facing side, not just educating outward, but actually listening to taxpayers. The IRS can also make a case for additional funding by emphasizing the need to have more in-person services rather than just driving everyone to the web.
This is Olson's opinion.
Yes, this is her opinion, because Congress members wanted to know with the budget having coming out. So according to Olson's office research, there are about 33 million taxpayers who don't have broadband internet access and 14 million taxpayers who just don't have any internet at all. And so the idea that IRS can be an all online, all digital agency is just really not going to meet the needs of everyone.
We need to recognize that taxpayers won't be able to get online, and that means they need phone and personal assistance. And the IRS needs to do those studies, work with TAS, work with many of their federal advisory committees and other groups to make the case to you all and give you the data so that you can make informed decisions about how to appropriate funds.
That was taxpayer advocate Nina Olson.
All right, so she's arguing really then that if the IRS could get its act together, it could justify more money, possibly.
Yeah, they need to be able to, if they can justify why they need that money, they're actually going to work for the taxpayer and to protect them and also give them the services that they need, they might have a better chance of actually getting the money from Congress.
And maybe someday artificial intelligence will be able to interpret a lot of what people need and give them automatic answers. But they're years away from anything like that.
Yeah, that's the hope. And then you also have to factor in personally identifiable information, all that stuff. But it can definitely be down the road.
Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers, thanks so much.
Thanks, Tom.
Be sure to check out this and all of her budget coverage at federalnewsradio.com.